This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is the Hooligans.
Raised in Jackson, Mississippi, shot in Baton Rouge. Cupid let that arrow slip. How could I refuse? I just gave my heart away with no second thought. Didn't need it anyway, at least a sore thought. Seventh daughter of seventh son, the lost may yet be found. Should you insist your will be done, prepare to stand your ground. Stand your ground. I met her in my dreams first, then reality. It's there I recognized her face, same as she knew me. Some things we can't pick and choose, others have to be. Meetings written in the blues of ancient history. Seventh daughter of seventh son, the lost may yet be found. If you insist your will be done, prepare to stand your ground. Stand your ground. I'm a seventh son myself, nowhere of I speak. Fill my cup, I'll drink your health. Tell me what you see. I can grant a wish or two, courage to the weak. One thing I cannot do is fix a losing streak. I can raise the sick and dead, though I don't let on. List every junkie in this town be camping on my lawn. I want for nothing, nothing wants for me. Love could be habit forming, try it once and see. The way she holds me in her hand, I can't pin it down. Ain't no solid ground to stand 6 feet above the ground. Seventh daughter of a seventh son, the lost may yet be found. If you insist your will be done, prepare to stand your ground. Stand your ground. Too late to back out of it. Nothing you can do. Next thing you know about it, love's conquered you. When love knocks your stuffing out, tuck it back inside. What started out as bluffing, cashed out with aces high. Seventh daughter of seventh son, the lost may yet be found. If you insist your will be done, prepare to stand your ground. Seventh daughter of a seventh son, the lost may yet be found. If you insist your will be done, prepare to stand your ground. Stand your ground.
This is John Floridas. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Tom Garnsey and Betsy Wise of the band The Hooligans. How you guys doing?
Great. How are you?
Great.
Great to have you on the program. And we want to tell listeners that we're doing this interview at Tom's house in Bozeman, Montana. It's a beautiful mid-winter's day as we are recording this, looking out on Bozeman. From the headquarters of Voodoo Productions as well, which a lot of our listeners will be familiar with. Tom's work as the coordinator and the head man for Voodoo Productions for a number of years. But today we're going to be talking about the Hooligans Band and their brand new recording, Beggars and Thieves, which is their debut recording. Interesting for a number of levels, but one of the biggest being that it's the first recording for a band that's been together for 20 years. So let's maybe start with just talking about the band itself, definitely a mainstay, particularly down here in the southwest part of the state. But I really don't know the story myself, and I'm sure a lot of listeners don't, about how the band got started and just and how you two came together and started working together.
The way it started, I worked in, you know, I
came here from upstate New York, worked in Yellowstone Park back in, started in 82, summer of 82, and moved to, would live in Bozeman in the off seasons, and was hanging out at Al's Bar for quarter beer night. And the guy next to me shouted out a Grateful Dead request. And I kind of looked at him and was like, and we started talking, and that was Rich Rubisco. And so he and I, he's like, oh, you play? And so we got, you know, we got together and started playing. Well, maybe a couple of months later, Bob Britton, a brilliant piano player, came in to a bar that we were playing one night, and just, there was a piano there, and he just sat down and just started playing without even being asked. And we started doing trio gigs. Bob moved away. And then you probably know Gary Small from Highlight Blues Band. We started a band called Highlight Blues, pretty much road stuff, from Rocky Mountain road stuff, from Whitefish to Telluride. When Gary wasn't with us, we called it Hooligans. And then when he left permanently, it just became Hooligans because it was the easiest thing. It was always sort of a moving cast of characters from there. And right about 1990, end of Highlight Blues Band, Ron Craighead moved up here from Jackson Hole. We knew him a bit from and had played with him a few times from Jackson Hole. That's kind of the core. And then met Betsy late 80s, probably.
I met you in your Highlight Blues.
Yeah.
At Chico. I was working at Chico, and you guys played. And then you came over to my house, and we were singing. And yeah. And you were like, wow, you can sing
girls
the
can
blues.
Sing.
So that was 88, I think.
As the members have evolved and come and gone and so forth, it seems to me that there still has been kind of a consistent theme to what you guys want to do as musicians and what you want to do with what the Hooligans do musically. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know about it, if there's a decision. You know, we've always kind of done the same thing, which is we come from the Dead school. The stuff always gets our treatment, whether we like it or not. It turned out we're to the point now where stuff sounds like us, and we don't have any choice in the matter. We could try and not sound like that, but it wouldn't work. And there's a lot of stuff. There's folk, there's blues, there's rock and roll, there's sort of jazz for beginners. There's, you know, and there's always that Grateful Dead thing where there's a door at the end of a song or in the middle of a song where everybody can go. And so over this amount of time of playing together, 30 years for three of us, the amount of intuition there is in the improv stuff has gotten to be pretty extraordinary, and can be, you know, it can be a train wreck, but it can also be just glowing brilliant. Yeah. We think.
Well, it's got to start somewhere, Tom.
Well, yeah. And so we love that possibility. And, you know, that said, we can play acoustic sets and be just as normal as the next band if we have to be.
There aren't very many songs that we play that have a form that stays exactly
that we have to stay
same.
With. Yeah.
Yeah.
Betsy, when you came to the group, did you have a background in that kind of a philosophy for music?
I remember the first gigs coming, and it would be like, I would just show up and I would have no idea what they were going to play. But most of the time...
Us either.
I know. But most of the time it was like, oh, well, I know that song. And, oh, I remember that song from college. And so it was scary at first. I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, I have no idea what they're going to do. But then it was like it became a part of the thrill of playing with them. Being on your toes.
Cast aside your worries. Sweep out all the rain. Hitch your start to the car at the end of the evening train. Since we led us to an old friend on paper made from wood, take the time to find the rhyme like you always knew. Answer begs a question, once again we ride. You slipped in the back door, but I ran around the side. Put your heart in a shopping cart, wheel it on down the road. If I had a mind to, I might change my mind and stay. If I had the time to, I'd make the time to have my way. If I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to.
You held on for dear life, I held out for more. We wear the smiles of just a waiting game, you can count your only friend. Face lights up the sky like before the rainbow comes. Stars and bones let freedom ring to the beating of the drum. It's a long road to salvation. The end is always near. Through the twisting and the turning, the brightest light is always fear. If I had a mind to, I might turn and walk away. If I had a mind to, I might change my mind. If I had the time to, I'd make the time to have my way. If I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to,
if I had a mind to.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Tom Garnsey and Betsy Wise of The Hooligans. Well, let's get into the recording, Beggars and Thieves. As we mentioned before, this is a landmark thing for the band to be able to do, A, your first CD after all these years, and B, certainly getting a chance to work with Bill Payne, who has been on the program before in the last year or so. Of course, the legendary keyboard player from the equally, if not more legendary, band Little Feat. So let's talk about how this project came together, maybe how Bill came to be involved in the project, and just what this was like for you guys to be able to work with someone like this.
It was sort of like having a mentor for everybody, and it made everybody some of the dysfunctions of being in a band forever with people and lack of communication and that sort of thing just sort of got... we all had to stand up and work that stuff out, and I think it was great to have somebody like Bill who just wasn't, everybody knew he wasn't going to be putting up with it.
The backstory on him getting together with us is, you know, I promote shows. I've certainly promoted a couple of Little Feat shows over the years and had met him. Huge fan of his stuff. I saw Little Feat when I was 17 years old in upstate New York and just, you know, just blown away by it. And I knew that he'd had a place here in Paradise Valley since 1979 or something. And we even knew that way back in the days of the High Life Blues Band, where we were always like, well, someday Bill Payne's going to come up and show up. And 30 years later, he still hadn't. But he moved back here permanently about 3 years ago. And I ran into him. I was doing a J.J. Gray show at the Emerson in Bozeman. And I saw him go into the restaurant. And I thought, that was Bill Payne. I'm going to go say hi. And... And he said, well, when's the next time your band's playing around here? And I said, well, we were playing over at Pine Creek the following weekend. And he said, well, bring a keyboard and I'll come play. And, you know, I tried to disguise how...
in awe.
Over the top.
How, you know, frantic I was, like, becoming. And so he came and sat in. And really, since then, barring him being on the road with Little Feet or one of his solo things... He's at every one of our gigs. And somewhere along the line, last summer before this one, he kept saying, well, have you ever recorded this band? And we're like, well, no. You know, we're lazy and insecure. And he said, well, you know, we should plan to do that. It got to be September 1st. And of course, I've got three festivals in the summer. Rubisco does sound for everybody. Everybody's got 100 balls in the air. And he called me up and he said, hey, are we still doing this thing at the end of the month? And I said, yeah, yes, we are. And I immediately called all the band and said, hey, you guys, we're going to go record. And I got so much there. I got so many reasons why we weren't ready. We weren't there. What's the material going to be? What happened? We need to rehearse.
Suddenly the band that feeds off of improvisation and spontaneity
was just completely fear-based. And I said, you guys, Bill Payne wants to produce a record for us and wants to play on it, and we're going to go do this thing. In the meantime, Bill and I had gotten together and written a couple of tunes, which kind of came out of nowhere, and they came pretty naturally, and they, at least by his standards, they were great songs. And so I was like, well, his standards are good enough if he thinks this is good. And we found an old traditional tune, Katie Cruel. We put a couple of covers in there, a very different version of Bee's Wing from Richard Thompson. And
The Natalie Merchant
song, which is a children's song. And then halfway through the project, Bill has, over the last couple of years, started writing with Robert Hunter from Grateful Dead. And in the midst of this project, came in and said, I've got one of the Robert Hunter tunes, which for us was full circle because we're little deadheads and we're little feet heads. And then he just sort of became the guy who steered things and knew he was a guy that was like, that was a good take. Let's move on. Or if we were lagging or hungover or had some kind of issue, he was the guy that came in and made the fire go underneath you. And it turned, it just kind of went from us sort of thinking it was going to be a haphazard, we'll just go play live and we'll record it and see what it sounds like, to a guy like Bill Payne coming in and go, no, you won't. This is what we'll do. We'll put the vocals on later. We'll do the, we'll do this like a real record. Just everything happened and maybe, 30 years was just, it had to wait that long for stuff to happen in a really organic and natural way.
In recording Beggars and Thieves, it sounds almost as if you all as musicians went to graduate school in a lot of ways. Maybe Betsy, talk a little bit about what that was like for you.
The recording process?
Yeah, and just going through the everything that is involved in the recording process, not even just doing the takes, but everything it takes to prepare for it. And
It's a lot of endurance. It's like you kind of sort of be in the long, sometimes you're there for longer than you want to be at the studio and you're doing another take. And I had done some recording of my own stuff and been on, sung some harmony and stuff on other people's recordings. So I had been in that process a little bit before. I think maybe a little bit more than some of the other people in the band, which is funny. For me, I had to listen to the music a lot to be prepared, but singing harmony is so much fun to me and so effortless that it actually was just a blast to me working on it and seeing everybody doing, not having the issue, just the sort of being in a family that you are when you play with people for that long. I loved it. Everybody just getting in there and working on the music. It's like, this is about doing the music right and being respectful to each other. And it just really, I think it made everybody grow up. I really enjoyed
it. Yeah, and it was cool to be at that house because it was a neutral, it wasn't our house. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't in town, so all the distractions of those things. So we would meet there, and sometimes people would stay for 2 or 3 days if you could, and Rich would commute back and forth to work or whatever, and then on weekends stay for the 3 days. And we cook meals and sort of do that thing. And it had that feeling of you could, if there was, if three people left at the end of the day, three people were left, and because we were still in that mode, you'd play around with the tunes or you'd find something new or you just jam for 3 hours at the end of a night and stuff you hadn't done since you were in high school, So part of it, the place had a lot to do with it, I think, in some ways.
But one other thing that I noticed, for years we played together and we were like a family from playing together for so long. But that's what all we really did together was we played music together. Mm-hmm. Whereas working on the album, hanging out there, cooking dinner, it just seemed like we all became more friends to me, more like family that liked each other in a different sort of way.
As just opposed going to the through that family process. That didn't like each other before.
Well, the dysfunctional family.
Yes. Yeah, it took some
it's
of the
It's pretty dysfunctional dis. Still.
Yeah, but it took some of the dis out of the function, I think.
We like to say we put the fun in dysfunction.
Change their tune, they call me Katie Cruel. First came to town, brought me bottles plenty. Now they change their tune, they bring me bottles empty. was where I would be. There I would be where I'm not. Here I am where I must be. Go where I would, I cannot.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Betsy Wise and Tom Garnsey of the band The Hooligans. This is an interesting time to be talking to you because of the proximity to the release of this debut album. A lot of doors are kind of opening 30 years in. So I guess the natural question is, where do you see things progressing?
Well, that's a great question.
Will they progress?
They might regress.
At this point. It certainly seems like they're progressing.
One never knows.
But I can't imagine after what the good that it's done for us to record this for things to not continue to move.
Right.
Progress.
But I guess I have no plan as to how that'll happen.
No.
Or
well, we never
no
have a
inkling
plan.
As to.
We never have a set list. We never have a plan. We just make music.
We plan to be unplanned. I'm not sure where it'll go from this other than. It's a blast right now, and it's really interesting at our ages to feel like you're making the best music of your life, and that's the coolest part for me. Is like, who cares what happens at this point? If I can go out and be as proud of this band as I've ever been, then what's not to like?
Hooligansmontana.com is the name of the website that listeners can go to find out more about the band. What's going on in terms of their performances, as well as this brand new recording, Beggars and Thieves, as well as any subsequent recordings that might come down the road. Betsy and Tom, thanks so much for making time to talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure getting a chance to sit down and talk with you.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
If the butterfly could be, and the owl...
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been The Hooligans. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as through Facebook. Our program is now available as a podcast from those websites, as well as from iTunes. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.